I love my morning coffee, but sometimes the crash hits harder than the caffeine. That's when I switch to Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's real coffee infused with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics, giving me smooth, focused energy that actually lasts. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Enter for a chance to win $100 cash or even get your entire order refunded. Head to everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
Holidays bring feasting, fluffy dinner rolls, tasty stuffing, and your family's French toast bakes. With Hero Bread, indulge in your holiday favorites. Made with Hero Bread sliced bread loaves, bagels, croissants, buttermilk biscuits, and more. And don't forget their Hero Hawaiian rolls with 4 grams of protein and 0 grams net carbs. Hero Bread has you covered with 0 to 5 grams net carb and higher fiber options, so your holidays stay delicious and balanced. Like their 3 grams net carb pan of chocolate. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code FALL25 at checkout. That's FALL25 at HERO.co. All figures are per serving of Hero Bread. Contains up to 17 grams of fat per serving. See the product nutrition panels on hero.co for more information.
We're getting set for what's going to be an awesome week 13 of the Big 12 football season. We've got college football playoff implications all over the place, and we are going to preview and give you predictions and a pick against the spread for every single game in the Big 12. Right here on Heartland College Sports. The only thing we want from you is to just hit the like button on the video, subscribe to the channel on YouTube, and also on the podcast. Thanks for being here. So let's start off with Iowa State taking on KU. This is, of course, senior day, final home game for Iowa State. I like to put a little more juice on games like that, especially for programs that have pride. And Iowa State is a pride program that hasn't had the season that a lot of us expected, right? I mean, they come out of the gates flying red hot. They win in Ireland. They then start off 5-0, and then they lose 4 straight. They snap that losing streak a couple of weeks ago. They have to come back against TCU. They get it done. Now they're home, final time in front of that Ames faithful, and they've got a KU team that also has not really met expectations this season, right? I mean, KU's a team that people thought, hey, Jalen Daniels finally going to be healthy. This is their year. Actually, last year's KU team was better than this year's KU team. The problem is Jalen Daniels took a while to get healthy last year. That was the problem, or get comfortable, I should say, last year. This year, he's healthy, but the horses aren't there around him that were there last year on both sides of the ball. And that's what you're seeing this year with KU. So KU's 5-5. They've got to win one of these last two games to get bowl eligible. This is the more likely game at Iowa State because next week they got Utah. And that could be pretty ugly, especially if Utah is still competing for a spot in the college football playoff if they can win this week. So this is a game that lines up very well for Iowa State. Both teams have had a bye. Both teams have had time to get healthy. Iowa State's been super banged up. They're home. The crowd's going to be rocking for that final game of the season up in Ames. And I just think they're better suited in this game to take advantage of KU's weaknesses, which are largely on the defensive side of the ball. You have an Iowa State passing attack that Rocco Becht, you know, has been up and down this season. But he's got a chance to take advantage against a KU defense that is right now 11th in the Big 12 in defensive efficiency. So that right there is, like, I think, a golden opportunity for Rocco Becht to have himself a big final home game this season up in Ames. And then I'm also looking at this from a rush defense perspective, and while Iowa State has not been a great team running the ball this year, if there's a chance for them to pop and take off, it's on Saturday against a KU rush defense that is third worst in the Big 12, only better than Baylor and Colorado. Meantime, Iowa State's secondary has not been up to snuff by the standards of what John Haycock has had there for the last several years. But I still look at this matchup and I say, okay, who do I like better? The Iowa State offense against the KU defense or vice versa? And to me, it's not close. It's Iowa State at home. That's what I like, especially with what I think is going to be a more motivated Iowa State team going into this game at home on Saturday. So while it's an old school Big 12 matchup, there are things to like about this game. I still favor this game heavily towards the Iowa State Cyclones. And that's what I'm seeing right now with this team. When it comes to the odds on this game, it opened up at Iowa State -4. And it's moved by a half point in some places. I'm still seeing it at -4. But more of the money, or more of the tickets, I should say, are on KU. That means what? The larger bets are riding Iowa State in this game. That's what it means. And I'm with those guys, or gals, or whatever. I'm with them. I'm picking Iowa State to win this game at home by a final of 31-21 over the Kansas Jayhawks on Saturday up in Ames. So I just think that Iowa State's going to have more firepower on the offensive side, and I think they're going to take advantage of this Kansas defense. And I think on the other side, Iowa State actually may have success, which they haven't had a lot of this season, of getting to Jalen Daniels and getting to the quarterback. KU has struggled with that at times this year, so I'm going to go Iowa State winning this game and covering the spread of 4 points by a final of 31-21 up in Ames to wrap up the home schedule for the Iowa State Cyclones. Next, let's talk about Baylor and Arizona. What do you say? So this game is in Tucson, and it's a game that is important for Arizona. Who would have thought these two teams have had dramatically different seasons versus what was expected of them? Arizona was like, can Brent Brennan get off the hot seat? Baylor was, are they going to win the Big 12? And now it's Baylor that has had a wildly disappointing season. It is Arizona that is coming in at 7-3 off a great win on the road against Cincinnati. And they're the team that people are talking about in this game. They are favored in this game by 6.5 points. So it's a solid spread in favor of Arizona. The question is it the right number? And which side am I going to be on here? I will get to that coming up in a moment. But for me, I'm looking at the game and I'm saying, okay, Arizona is a team that is led by its pass defense. They have done an amazing job in this category. Arizona has not given up more than 200 passing yards in a game since their first conference game of the season against Iowa State, when Rocco Beck threw for 243 yards. Since then, the most passing yards allowed is 199 against Jalen Daniels and KU. Everybody's been under 200 yards since then. That's how good the pass defense is. And it's a Baylor team that's got the number one passing offense in the Big 12, but they have not seen a pass defense like what they're going to see with Arizona. That is one of their strengths. So this sets up very well for Arizona at home. Sawyer Robertson is going to have the kind of game where he utilizes his legs. Baylor doesn't have a great rushing game. That's where you can actually potentially beat Arizona. We saw Tawi Walker actually play pretty well on the ground for Cincinnati last week. I don't think they fed him enough in the running game. But Sawyer Robertson's going to have to show some dual threat ability, and that's not really what he does. Sawyer Robertson has a season-high 20 rushing yards in a game, and that came against SMU. But if they actually want to keep this Arizona secondary on its heels, that's what they've got to do. That gives Baylor another look to the offense to keep Arizona's defense somewhat honest. If not, Arizona's, I think, going to have a big day. Dalton Johnson in that secondary is playing great. This guy, he's top 10 in tackles in the Big 12. He's got 3 interceptions over his last 5 games. He has been a tremendous part of what is a great secondary there. And I believe they'll be able to keep these Baylor wide receivers in check, because once again, I don't think Baylor's a big threat running the football here in this game. And then on the other side, I'm looking at Baylor, and it's like the one place that Arizona has struggled, one of the few places Arizona has struggled, has been protecting the quarterback, pass protection. Noah Fifita has been sacked 27 times in 10 games, the second most in the Big 12 ahead of only Colorado. Baylor doesn't get to the quarterback. They just don't. They're dead last in the Big 12, 10 sacks in 10 games. if there's a game for the pass rush to wake up, this would be it. But I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I think that is likely. I don't believe Arizona's getting enough respect in this game. They're playing some of the best football in the Big 12. They're not getting enough attention for it. They have one of the better passing attacks in the Big 12. Noah Fifita looks far more like the guy he did in 23 rather than 24. And that pass defense will keep Sawyer Robertson in check. Plus, Baylor's defense cannot take advantage of one of the weaknesses of Arizona, the pass protection. So I'm rolling with the Wildcats to get a solid win against a Baylor team that just doesn't seem to have a whole lot left in the tank. We didn't even talk about what's going on with Baylor, the drama around Mack Rhodes, the athletic department, Dave Aranda's seat getting hot. There's just a lot there about Baylor that I am not a fan of right now and don't think it's going to bode well for them going forward. So Arizona's dialed in, much more to play for. I think more fired up going into this game at home as well. I don't believe they'll be caught looking ahead to Arizona State. That would be foolish going into this game. So give me Arizona to cover the 6.5 points, and I'll take them by a final of 35-24 over the Baylor Bears. Just make sure that you right now like the video. Make sure you are subscribed to the channel. I'm Pete Mundo on HeartlandCollegeSports.com. We now go to Salt Lake City, where it's Kansas State on the road against Utah. And this one is up to a monster. Can you believe this? 17-point spread. That's right. Opened up at 16.5, and it's all the way up to 17.5 in some places. I'll get you a pick and a prediction here in this one as we bring it to you on Heartland College Sports. So first off, Utah is a team that is in the mix for a college football playoff. But it's unlikely at this point they end up playing in a Big 12 championship game, which means the more likely opportunity for Utah to make the college football playoff is what? Ending up the season with two losses, most likely not in a Big 12 championship game, and having to do it the old-fashioned way, I guess you would say, backdoor their way in. That means they have to blast their opponents here. That's what it means. And they did it last week against Baylor on the road. And now they're going to have to do it again, this time against a Kansas State team that just looked lifeless last week against Oklahoma State in Stillwater, winning that game 14-6. I don't like to overreact week to week. I'm just telling you, if you watch the Utah-Baylor game, which I did, and you watch the Oklahoma State K-State game before it, you are watching two teams that are on different planets right now. K-State just doesn't have the juice. They don't necessarily do anything all that well, right? They just don't. I mean, you tell me. Look at all the numbers across the board. I mean, what is Kansas State like great at? They're not great at running the ball. They're near the bottom of the Big 12 in that category. They don't stop the run all that well. They don't pass the ball well. They're near the bottom of the Big 12 in that category. Same thing with stopping the pass. They're near the bottom of the Big 12. They're 11th in passing defense and 11th in passing offense. And they don't make up for it on the ground. They're not great at getting to the quarterback. They're middle of the Big 12 in that category. Like, what do they do great? The one thing they do well, they don't get penalized. I'll say that much. They're top of the Big 12 when it comes to fewest penalties with only 35 in 10 games. So they play clean football. It's not great football, but it's clean for whatever that's worth. I'm just saying, there's nothing else there. Meantime, you got a Utah team that is just running it down everybody's throats. They are averaging 278 yards on the ground. You mix in Bird Ficklin, the backup quarterback, with Devin Dampier. You got, I think, a Chris Leak, Tim Tebow style system going on there right now. And you know what? It is firing on all cylinders for the Utah Utes. They are averaging 278 yards a game on the ground. Those are monster numbers. K-State is 10th in the Big 12 in rush defense. So they've been okay in that category. They have not been great by any stretch of the imagination. So Utah, I think, knows it's got to win. They've got to win big as well. They can't just go into these games and, you know, win by a field goal or a touchdown. They've got to really impress the College Football Playoff Committee. And they know that they have to really impress the College Football Playoff Committee. They understand that that is right now, whether they like it or not, whether fair or not, that has got to be part of what they do. So K-State's only opportunity here to take advantage of Utah is going to be what? It's going to be the turnover margin where they have had success this year, especially when it comes to fumbles. But, you know, Utah, for the most part, has been pretty clean this year. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I think that's likely on the road in this spot, even though that's been a strength of Kansas State so far this season. So I will take the Utah Utes to take care of business in this game against Kansas State. And you know what? I'm going to lay the 17. If you're seeing 17 and a half, I'd buy the half a point. All right? I would. I'm going to say Utah wins this game 42 to 20. That's where I like the Utes winning the game, covering the spread at home. Salt Lake City is going to be bumping, and it's going to be a big afternoon out there in Utah for the Utes as they continue to put themselves in contention to not just make a college football playoff, but also if things break just right, they can end up in a Big 12 championship game. It's just not incredibly likely right now, and that's just because of the bad draw they got. I mean, you look at the advanced analytics, ESPN FBI has them as the top-ranked team in the Big 12 based on the ESPN FBI. So this team on paper, and not just on paper with your eyes, but I mean on paper with the advanced analytics, is one of the best teams and considered to be a top 10 team in the country. So just something to keep an eye on there as well. Pete Mundo on Heartland College Sports. Make sure that you are subscribed to the channel. We are glad you are here as always as a part of the show as we cover the Big 12 Conference. Next up, it's Houston.
Give the gift that everyone wants, Omaha Steaks. Right now, save 50% site-wide, plus get an extra $35 off with code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout. Save on USDA-certified tender bacon-wrapped filet mignons, perfectly aged ribeyes, gourmet sides, and decadent desserts delivered right to their door. Skip the stress. Order now at omahasteaks.com. That's omahasteaks.com, and use code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout to get an extra $35 off. Hurry, these deals won't last. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details.
Taking on TCU. Let's talk about that game here for a few minutes, shall we? So Houston TCU is tricky. Houston's at home, point and a half favorite, coming off a bye. You've got a TCU team that just got crushed on the road where they were taking on BYU. TCU's had a rough couple of weeks, all right? They have been in a bad spot. They've had a rough couple of weeks, and they've really struggled. But last time we saw Houston, it was their defense that showed up big time in the second half to come back against UCF. Prior to that, what happened? Well, they played West Virginia at home and they lost. So this is one that I've gone back and forth on, and I'll explain why here in a second. But I don't love either of these teams right now, I'll admit. I didn't like Houston, especially in that first half against UCF. They didn't play well at all against West Virginia. They just didn't. You got to admit that. They didn't. But then I got a TCU team who has played an abysmal last five quarters. They blew a double-digit lead in the fourth quarter at home against Iowa State, and they just got manhandled by BYU. So it's like, which one do you like here? I like TCU. I'm going to take the underdog on the road. I just think that Sonny Dykes is a desperate man right now and really needs a win to silence some of what's coming out of Fort Worth, which is people wondering, hey, is Sonny the guy? And I know Houston is in the top 25 again. I get it. They're technically still in the Big 12 title race at 5-2 in league play. I understand that. I do. But at the same time, I think that this is a TCU team that is going to be able to get itself back on track, offensively in particular. And, you know, it's got a pass defense that actually has been underratedly good at times this season. I know you're going to be like, wait, no, it hasn't. It's been okay at times this season. The rush defense has been better for TCU. There's no doubt about it. The pass defense has had its moments. And I just don't know if Houston's poised to take advantage of all that. So that's why I sit there and I say TCU's desperate. Sonny Dykes is desperate. He really needs a very good win right now. A top 25 win would be great for Sonny Dykes. And I think that there's pride there as well. As much as anything else, this is a pride pick for TCU going into this game. It's a pride pick as much as anything else. It's a proud program. They got good players. They got a solid, well, maybe not a solid staff. There could be a place that gets cleaned out after the season, depending on how it goes. But it's like, you know, at some point, I've just got to believe that Sonny Dykes is going to have a bounce back game here. They have not covered a spread here in a couple of weeks. So it's been a minute since TCU's been able to cover their number. And I just think that they will, in this spot, go on the road as an underdog, and I will take them at plus two. They've actually been really bad against the spread the last few weeks. I don't think they've covered since the Baylor game, which was like 5 weeks ago now. They didn't cover against West Virginia in their win. They didn't cover against Iowa State, and they didn't cover against BYU. So I think the line might be a little bit of an overreaction. Houston does not have great home field advantage. I will take in this game TCU plus the 2 points against the Houston Cougars. Next up, let's talk about Oklahoma State and UCF. So UCF is a 14.5-point favorite. That is way too much. UCF should not be a 14.5-point favorite against a fellow Power Four team, even one as bad as Oklahoma State is right now. I was on Oklahoma State last week against K-State. I picked them plus the 21. It was a lock. And in this game, I'm going Oklahoma State plus the 14.5 against Central Florida. What's interesting about this is it's not as much about breaking down the game when you've got two teams that are playing near the bottom of the Big 12 standings, especially one who's been basically the worst in every category in Oklahoma State. But what's interesting to me is that the overwhelming majority of the bets are coming in on Central Florida. And the line really hasn't moved. In some sports books, it's actually moved in favor of Oklahoma State. It's gone from Oklahoma State plus 14.5 to Oklahoma State plus 14. So what does that mean? That means there's more money pouring in on the Cowboys that's shifting the line the other way. So that's not the only reason I'm on the Cowboys, but it's one of the reasons. I look at a team that is finally getting healthier. Zane Flores at quarterback, I think, makes a big difference. Sam Jackson was incompetent at that position. I mean, this is not a guy you'd start in the FCS at quarterback. He just had no business playing at that level. Never mind at a place like Oklahoma State. But you got Zane Flores playing. You got a defense that is, you know, playing a little bit better. At least it did against K-State last week. You saw some of that last week in terms of how this team looked and, you know, what some of those guys did out there. And it was great to see. I mean, seeing a senior like Parker Robertson for Oklahoma State play the way he did last week with a team high 8 tackles, had a sack, had an interception. I mean, you got some guys who have pride on this team, who for them still, this is it. Like, this is their last hurrah playing college football. All right, and even though Kansas State piled up a lot of yards, 100 more yards than Oklahoma State did last week, Oklahoma State's defense held up when it mattered most. And they finished that game with 6 tackles for loss, a couple of sacks. So, and you know what? I don't think UCF up front has those horses. So I that's where I like the potential of Oklahoma State to be able to at least hang in there. And you're seeing a rush defense that is slowly getting better. And that's really where UCF wants to win this game on the ground. And Oklahoma State's rush defense is not great, but it has quietly moved up the rankings from being at the bottom of the Big 12 to suddenly only being 13th in the Big 12, which is improvement. K-State only ran for 107 yards last week. And they were trying to get it going with Avery Johnson and Joe Jackson and Antonio Martin, and they really never did. So I think that Oklahoma State has gotten better at stopping the run. You've seen that. It was noticeable last week against Kansas State, and I think you'll get more of that in this game on Saturday. So give me Oklahoma State plus the 14.5 in this game as they go to UCF to take on the Knights on Saturday. It is great to have you here on Heartland College Sports. I'm Pete Mundo. We are now going to go to BYU and Cincinnati. Let's talk about that game with massive Big 12 implications. Pete Mundo with you on Heartland College Sports. We cover the Big 12 Conference. We're glad you're here as always. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being a part of the show. So this game could go a long way in determining who ends up playing in the Big 12 championship game. It's a monster game. And I'll tell you right now, Cincinnati is starting to look like the team that it was last year. And that's not good. Cincinnati lost 5 in a row to end last season. They have now lost 2 straight. They are in a position where they could very well be on a 3-game losing streak when all is said and done here. And I'm looking at a BYU team that is coming off a monster win against TCU last week. They're favored by 2.5 points on the road. Cincinnati's a hard place to play. I understand that. There's no doubt about it. It's a hard place to play. But Arizona, I'm not going to say Arizona made it look easy last week. They didn't, but they played some darn good football. And they won at Cincinnati. And now I've got a BYU team coming in here with Bear Bachmeyer and this offense and a nasty defense that is going on the road and is looking like they can get their way into the college football playoff through either, you know, big-time wins like this on the road combined with maybe a Big 12 championship, or they could get there with winning out, getting to the Big 12 title game, and then having a close loss against Texas Tech. That's possible as well. But if you're Cincinnati as a home underdog, you've got to figure out how to turn the momentum around in your favor. And you do that how? With a major turnover or two. The Bearcats have to figure out how to turn that momentum in their favor. And you got a true freshman in your house, that may set up for a good opportunity to do that. Here's the problem. Cincinnati ranks 67th in FBS football with an even turnover margin, and BYU is 12th in the country at plus 8. The Bearcats have a bend but don't break defense that has to make a play in this game to win. They don't want to get into a shootout. BYU's defense is much better. And I've got this BYU offense that I think ultimately wears down Cincinnati's defense that is ranked 88th against the pass in the country, 86th against the run, and 51st in points allowed. Oh, yeah. And also Cincinnati is ranked 136th in FBS with an average time of possession of 24 minutes and 39 seconds. BYU is 15th in the country in time of possession. The Cougars will maintain and control the ball. They will have long, methodical drives. They will dominate the time of possession, and they will win this game and cover the spread at -2.5. That's how this game is going to go down for BYU. And I've got them at a final of 27-17 in favor of BYU on the road. They remain in, of course, the college football playoff race. They are inching closer with a win to getting to the Big 12 championship game, and this will be a huge victory for the BYU Cougars on the road, who still, in my estimation, are not getting nearly enough respect in the college football playoff rankings that came out this week. That will be bulletin board material for BYU going into this one. And for Cincinnati, it's been a good season. Scott Satterfield's off the hot seat, but they just don't have the horses to compete at the top of the Big 12. The schedule, like last year, was favorable on the front end. It was harder on the back end. Same thing again this year. Evan Pryor's back at running back, good for them. but I don't think that's going to matter against this BYU defense that is right near the top of the Big 12, especially against the run where they have been pretty darn dominant. Pete Mundo on Heartland College Sports. Subscribe if you are a Big 12 football fan. We're glad you're here joining us on the show, as always, where we cover the Big 12 and give you our picks and previews every single week. Plus, we have the reaction show that we drop on Sundays. And if you're new here, join the forums at heartlandcollegesports.com. They're free, just a great way to interact and hang out with fellow Big 12 fans. The final game of the weekend in the Big 12 is Arizona State taking on Colorado. So you've got two teams that have been trending in very different directions. The Colorado Buffaloes host the Arizona State Sun Devils. The Sun Devils are 7-3. Following a comeback win against West Virginia, they've won two in a row, three of their last four. Meantime, the Buffaloes are 3-7. They've lost three in a row. Most recently, after the bye, prior to that, they lost to West Virginia 29-22. Arizona State's a 7.5-point favorite in this game. So here's what I'm looking at in this one. Colorado has to pass the ball to win. You need their true freshman quarterback, Juju Lewis, to have himself a big game. He was pretty solid in his first start last week against West Virginia. At least they didn't get blown out. The two games prior, Colorado was getting smoked by a combined score of 105-24. They were at least competitive against West Virginia. Juju gave him some juice. He showed impressive poise as a freshman, all with a depleted offensive line, and I'll get to that in a second. He took 7 sacks, 15 tackles for loss, but he hung tough. Colorado's only hope is to pass, pass, and pass some more. That's where Arizona State has been vulnerable at times this season. What does that mean? It also means a career game would be needed from Juju, who's only a freshman. And he's got to utilize those weapons. Amarian Miller, Joseph Brown, Sincere Brown, more guys like that have got to get out there, and they've got to have big-time performances and make some big-time plays. That's their best chance to pull off the upset. For Arizona State, get to the quarterback. Colorado is going to lean on the passing game. That sets up Arizona State for success. Their defensive line has been as good as any this side of Texas Tech. They are second in the Big 12 with 27 sacks this season behind only the Red Raiders, tied with Utah and two ahead of West Virginia. That's where they are going to have to win this game. They've got to get the Juju. They've got to get in that backfield. Colorado's offensive line has had issues all season long. They've given up the most sacks in the Big 12, 31 in 10 games. That's where Arizona State's defensive front is going to be able to feast. And then Jeff Sims has to just keep doing what he's been doing. The quarterback for Arizona State keeps getting better. He had his best game yet last week, 200 passing yards, 80 rushing yards in that comeback against the Mountaineers. And I think that this game, from a strengths and weaknesses perspective, sets up beautifully for Arizona State. It's just the kind of game that works in their favor in terms of their strengths and Colorado's weaknesses. And that's something right now that if you're an Arizona State fan, you're looking at and you're saying, man, I know that, you know, we're going on the road here. I understand all that. But holy cow, this is a golden opportunity for us to stay in the Big 12 championship race, to try to defend our title, and to put ourselves in the spot where we can go there, get a win, and get it convincingly. And that's what I believe is going to happen on Saturday. So I am going to take Arizona State minus the 7.5. I feel good about it. I actually think they're headed towards a pretty convincing win by a final of 31-13 for Arizona State. Their rushing attack is 5th in the Big 12, going up against Colorado's last-ranked Big 12 rushing defense, which gives up over 200 yards per game on the ground. That bodes well for Jeff Sims and his run-first approach. So give me Arizona State taking care of business with a big win against Colorado, 31-13, covering the 7.5 points. I'm Pete Mundo, Heartland College Sports. Thank you, as always, for joining us on the show. Subscribe to the channel. We love you. We just want you to share this with other Big 12 fans. Help us grow this baby. Have a great rest of the week. Enjoy the games. We're back on Sunday for the reaction show. That's why you want to be subscribed. We'll talk to you soon.